I'm going to do something a little unorthodox this morning. Those of you who were here for Father Jess Stribling's funeral yesterday know that he did not want a homily or a eulogy as a part of his service, preferring instead to let the readings, prayers, and music speak for themselves. And they certainly did, bringing messages of hope and comfort and peace to all those gathered, as Jess intended and as was his prerogative. It was, as they say, his funeral. But today is a different matter. Today, I am going to exercise my prerogative and preach about Father Jess. And in my defense, I offer the following. Those who knew Jess know he deserves to have his life and ministry honored by this community, even if he would never have requested that for himself. And those of you who don't know him or never met him would, I think, still benefit from hearing a little bit about what made him so special. Add to that the fact that he selected a gospel passage for his funeral that our lectionary cycle just happens to have assigned as part of the gospel passage for today, and I feel completely justified that this is warranted. Jess first walked into an Episcopal church when he was 13 years old and had what he called the foundational religious experience of his life when he received the Eucharist for the first time. From that time on, he knew he wanted to be a priest. He was ordained at the age of 24, which means that he went straight to seminary right after finishing his degree at UNC Chapel Hill. And that means he served as a priest for almost 65 years, which is incredible. Jess served parishes in and around the D.C. area for much of his career, but while still fully involved and invested in parish ministry, he undertook the unusual step of also becoming a lawyer and practicing law for over 25 years. I think the story goes, his wife told him, "Honey, you need to make more money." It was in 2006. A few years after he had retired, and he and his beloved wife Miriam had moved here to Norfolk, that Jess was invited to serve for a two-week stint as an assisting priest here at Christ in St. Luke's. A stint which lasted almost 20 years. Jess loved this church. As he noted in the stewardship testimony that he gave at the 8 o'clock service last fall, "Throughout my life, I have been blessed to be a part of fine parishes, for the most part. But never have I been in a parish like Christ in St. Luke's. Clearly for me," he said, "the good Lord saved the best for last." Those are generous words. And particularly powerful, knowing as we do now that this church would be the last thing in his conscious mind before he had his final fatal event here just 2 weeks ago. But even so, I think I can say that as a parish, we got even more from Jess than he got from us. And that is because of just how fully and faithfully Jess loved the people of this church. Jess had a particularly pastoral heart. The nourishment that he received in his prayer life and from sacramental worship so fully infused him with the love of God that even as he aged, he found ways to continue to share that love with other people. For he truly believed that in caring for one another, we manifest the presence of God's inbreaking reign, he liked to say. He once wrote, "There is much from which God has saved us. Among them, meaninglessness, sin, and death. But more important," he said, "is that for which he has saved us. Namely, friendship, relationship, and unity. Not only with him, but also with one another. This is God's purpose," Jess believed. Friendship, relationship, unity. And therefore, it is meant to be our purpose as well. I can still remember when I met Jess for the first time. It was on my official visit here before I had taken the job. And his smile, his ebullience, his big paw of a hand enveloping mine, his love of this place and the people in it was just infectious. And it was clear that getting to work with him would be one of the added bonuses of taking this position, and that it would make me a better priest. He was that good. He kept track of everybody, every surgery, every crisis, every sheep that had wandered away. And I know that dozens of you have stories of Jess visiting you when a family member was ill or dying, or sitting with you in the waiting room of a hospital, or praying with you before a procedure, or just making sure that you got communion if you were stuck at home. These actions were of vital importance to him because he knew that in order to obey the commandment of his Lord to love one another as Jesus loved us, it meant being there mattered, and staying there mattered. And nowhere was that more evident than in how Jess cared for his wife Miriam over the many long years of her illness and eventual passing in 2018. And it was during those hard years that Father Wynn, my predecessor, had the wisdom to invite Jess to take over the leadership of our Thursday morning Eucharist. This Thursday morning crew became his congregation, and he used those simple but meaningful services that happen here in the chapel on a weekly basis to create what he called a mini course in Christian theology. Meaning, every week, he offered a little morsel of a theological lesson for the gathered faithful. And he did this for over 12 years. Meaning, he composed over 600 of these little lessons. It was in these homilies that Father Jess still got to exercise his formidable theological chops. He systematically outlined the beliefs of the church as well as his own thoughts and feelings about all the theological issues one might imagine. And if his charism for pastoral care showed us his heart, it was in these little lessons that we got a window into his mind and his soul. And it was in the last of these little homilies, number 604, that Jess shared with us what he thought, after all his years of ministry, was the most important theological lesson for us to learn. Grace. In this talk, he spoke about how, in the beginning of his life and ministry, he used to try so hard to be holy. And he used to fail. And he would feel such guilt until he took a class on grace. And he concluded that final sermon to his Thursday morning congregation by saying this: "Over time, I began to hear a different gospel, a gospel that really was good news, a gospel of God's love that set me free to love in return. It was unlike what I had thought Christianity was. Instead of having to continually qualify to be saved, whether in this life or in the life to come, salvation was a gift, entirely a gift from God to us, resulting from God's love of us." Think about that, he said. This awakening and the subsequent reliance that he had on the grace of God, a love given without needing to qualify for it, this became the core, not just of Jess's ministry, but of his life. And it was this profound understanding of the grace of God, which Jess possessed, that helped me actually understand something about this particular gospel passage we just heard in a new way. As I mentioned, the gospel passage that Jess chose for his funeral yesterday is from the same passage we have as our gospel for today, and it's a common one for funerals, John 14. It's glorious. "Do not let your hearts be troubled," Jesus says. "Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I not have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? So that where I am, there you may be also?" These are beautiful words of comfort from Jesus to his disciples on their last night together. But then we come to verse 6, which is where the funeral portion of the passage ends. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And I will admit, "no one comes to the Father except through me" has always seemed to be to throw in a little bit of a sour note of exclusivity in the midst of an otherwise beautiful passage. Jesus sounds kind of like a bouncer guarding the door to a relationship with God. But Jess wanted to make sure we included it. And that's because he heard that line differently, as a statement of grace. There was nothing he could do, Jess believed, to achieve the gift of eternal life with God. It was only through Jesus that he even had the hope of eternal life to begin with. Therefore, this statement was not one of exclusion to him, but of profound and amazing grace. For as he wrote, "Salvation, wholeness, abundant life, life with God is a gift from God, and it was given to all of us through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ." One does not need to qualify for heaven, Jess believed, because we can't. It's just the latest and greatest gift given to us by God through Jesus. And it is a gift that I have no doubt Jess is now enjoying in all its fullness as he takes up residence with Jesus and with Miriam in the place that has been prepared for him from before time. And as we read that line in the gospel passage for him yesterday, as directed, for the first time, instead of sounding sour, it sounded sweet. There is actually one last point, though, I feel as though I must make on Jess's behalf. So as you may be gleaning, Jess had strong feelings about worship. And perhaps more than anything else, he felt very strongly about two specific congregational responses. So first, Jess loathed wimpy alleluias. A joyous exclamation of praise, alleluia, when it is said, is meant to be said as a shout of victory, of triumph, of exultation. It means, praise the Lord. And Jess understood that praise to be the inevitable outpouring of recognizing God's good gifts of grace and love, gifts evidenced most completely in the resurrection, which is why we say alleluia all through Easter time. So when you get to say, don't yell it, but say it loud, say it proud, say it from your soul. That would delight him to no end. Same too with the Amen at the end of the Eucharist. Careful readers will note that this Amen is printed in all caps in our bulletin, as it is in the prayer book. And this is because, as Jess has said, that Amen, known as the Great Amen, is what seals the deal of the Eucharist. That Amen is your chance to add your assent to all the words which were voiced on your behalf by the priest. Amen means so be it, or I'm in. And because the Eucharist is fundamentally an act of thanksgiving, that Amen is where we most fully and concisely express our thanksgiving to God for the gift of Jesus Christ, whose Spirit is made real and present by our prayers in this bread and this wine, and then given to us so that it may journey with us all our days and beyond. So could there be any better way, then, to honor Jess's memory and ministry than those two words? Alleluia and amen. Praise and thanksgiving. So when you get the chance, say them with all that you have. And better yet, carry them with you on your lips as you leave this place. Because if we do, and if we're lucky, our lives might begin to look a little more like his. Our father, Jesse. A man who was all alleluia and amen.